Good morning, everybody. I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors here, and excited that we get to hang out for a little bit of time here. And as we do that, we're going to spend some time looking at the Bible, letting what God has recorded for us in Scripture do something in our lives. And it's not just to give us more information. It's giving Him permission to do something in us, to change something in us, all right? So this is what we're going to take some time here over the next several minutes and do together. If you're a guest with us today, love that you're here. You belong here in our midst, and I'm quite grateful that you're joining us on this journey today. I mentioned in my Wednesday email, I shoot out an email most Wednesday mornings. If you don't get it and you want it, use the Live It Share It card. Make sure we got your right email. The basket's already gone, so you missed that part. Just hand it to somebody afterwards, and we'll make sure you get it on that. But this last Wednesday, I shared a bit about a new piece of art that we got in our commons, out where the coffee is over here. You might have even seen it today before you came in. It's our logo, but our logo is pictured with words, so it's this word art. Those words came from many of you. Back on December 29th, we were celebrating the end of 2019 and asking ourselves a question, what did God do? And so I asked you if you would just write down one word. Some of you are overachievers. You used a phrase. So I asked you to write down a word that describes how did you experience God in 2019. And then we took those words that you wrote down, and somebody who's a very talented artist, so I didn't do this, but a talented artist made it into word art that looks like our logo. And so if you go out there and if you look real closely, it's from a distance, it's our logo, but you walk up closely, and that's where you're going to see the words. You're going to see words like hope. You're going to see words like freedom. You're going to see words like joy, of healing, restoration, reconciliation, strength in suffering. As a phrase, like you're going to see those things. And as you look at those words, like that's what God is doing here. This is not an organization. Centerpoint isn't an organization shaped by human hands. It's a community that is shaped by the work of God. And so each of those words stands as witness to the way that God has been working in our lives. And together we shape this community that bears witness to the goodness, to the presence, to the love and nearness of God. That's what that art means out in our commons. So again, if you haven't seen it, stop by and look at that and see what God is doing. It's a reminder for us that God is active in doing something. It may not be always what we want Him to be doing, but God is active and at work in our lives. And God's got this crazy way of doing things. See, whatever God does through us, right? So there's the work of God out here, God does in us. And whatever God does in us, He also does through us. Right? Let that circle sink in for just a moment. What God does through us, He also does in us. Sometimes, because of our self-perception, we know ourselves, we know our faults, we know the junk that we bring to the table. Sometimes we think, and we might even say, like, God's got forgiveness for you. All the while, we're hiding shame and guilt in our own lives. And so at the very same time we say, God's got forgiveness for you, this mantra reminds us, God has also got forgiveness for me. What God does through us, He also does in us. And it's a reminder that what God does in us, He also does through us. In other words, what God does in us is not just for us. What God does in us is lived out through us in the lives of people around us. And so while we might experience mercy, that is so that we can be ambassadors of mercy in our lives. While we might experience grace, we are also ambassadors of grace. While we might receive forgiveness, we are ambassadors of forgiveness, right? What God does through us, He does in us. What God does in us, He does through us. And so as we look at those words and we look at what God is doing, let that be a capture snapshot in our head that God is working in and through us. And what is He doing? He is showing the world who He is. In us and through us, God is showing the world who He is. He's revealing His identity. He's revealing His character and the nature of who He is. And He's revealing and accomplishing His purpose. Now, there's a lot of different places in the Bible where we get that picture, where we get that sense of what God is doing in the world. But the one we're going to spend some time looking at is in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the prophet, not the bullfrog. Old person reference, enjoy it. Kids, ask your grandparents. Send email to Ryan, not to me. Right, so we're going to take a look at the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is this interesting book in that it contains the prophecies of the prophet Jeremiah, but it also contains sort of this biographical information. We get to know Jeremiah a bit. One of the phrases that's used to describe Jeremiah is he's referred to as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. And that's not just because he teared up at the chick flick that he watched with his girlfriend. He was carrying a message of destruction. Like everything that Israel and Judah, God's people in God's promised land, everything that they had hoped would come true was about to be stripped away from them in what's called the exile. And Jeremiah was the last prophet who would be coming to them to get them to humble themselves before God. And when they didn't, here's what would be happening. And so he laid that out, and he was absolutely broken by the message that he brought. And he experienced torture, really, at the hand of those who were receiving that message, right? So Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, we get not only his prophecies, but we get a sense of his life. And as we get a sense of his life, this is part of what we see, is that God was revealing his message. God was revealing himself in Jeremiah and through Jeremiah. And the very same message that God was bringing through Jeremiah, he was doing within Jeremiah as well. And so we're going to take a look. Beginning today, we're going to take a look over a number of weeks at this Old Testament book of Jeremiah so that we can better get a sense of who God is. That's the first thing. When we look to Scripture, we understand who God is. How does God reveal himself? Who does God reveal himself to be? And then what are those implications on my life? Because there are deep and significant implications on my life. Because just like for Jeremiah, it is true for us. What God does through us, he does in us. And what God does in us, he does through us. And so what does it look like to be people who reflect the identity, the character, and the purpose of God in the world in which we live? And while you and I may not walk around with flowing robes, eating locusts and honey like prophets were known to do, our lives might look a little bit more normal than that. Not all of us, but some of us look a little bit more normal than that. We all are called into this. Like those of us who have a relationship with Jesus by faith, who have said yes to Jesus and are his followers, we too carry a prophetic posture in our day. All right? So I realize not everybody in this room has said yes to Jesus. And I love the fact that you're here. Like if you haven't said yes to Jesus, you belong here. Like bring your doubts, bring your skepticisms, bring your questions. We all bring those things to the table too. But for many of us, we have made a decision to follow Jesus. And as we have made that decision, we too carry a prophetic voice in our day. It doesn't look exactly like Jeremiah's did, but when we stand as witness to the identity, the character, and the purpose of God in our day, we too are standing with that prophetic voice in our day. Why? So that the world might know who God is. Now, we often think about the prophet as the angry person standing on the corner shouting, doom is near, the end is near, right? So we're like, I don't want that. No. That's not what it means to carry this prophetic voice. To carry this prophetic voice means we stand as witness to who God is, who is revealing himself to be. In all the places that we live our lives, we stand as witness to the identity, character, and purpose of God. That's what it means to carry that prophetic voice, both individually and corporately as his people. All right? So this book is going to be helpful for us in understanding what is God doing in us and through us as we follow him by faith in the world in which we live. Okay? So we're going to start right out in the place that makes sense is Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Don't be embarrassed if you need to look up the table of contents to find Jeremiah, but use your Bible. It's in the pocket in front of you, the one that you brought, or use it on your phone. You can follow along the screens too, but I think it's great to have something right in front of you to be reading along with. So I'm going to read this section. I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to stop and talk about it a second because I want to give it some context. So right off the shoot here. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. Like we're one verse in. Are you confused yet? Right? So we're throwing a bunch of stuff out here. Now the word of the Lord came to him. And this is important. So what it's saying is like these words that you're reading here are the words of Jeremiah, but they didn't originate with Jeremiah, right? So the first sentence, the words of Jeremiah. But by the time we get to verse 2, the word of the Lord came to him. In other words, these words that we're reading are not just Jeremiah's thoughts and reflections on the world. They are God's pronouncement of what's going to take place. And whenever we read about the word of God, it's not just words. God's words always accomplish God's intentions. Right? Because we live in a day where we say words are cheap. Like, don't come at me with just your words. Let me see your actions, right? And so when we think about the word of God, some of us will think, God, blah, blah, blah. Enough words. It's time to do something. But what we got to remember here is when God speaks, that's how he does things. Take it back all the way to the very beginning, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what do we see in each of those markers? God said, let there be light. And what happened? And there was light. And so right at the beginning of the scriptures, we see when God speaks, that's not just words. God's word is accomplishing God's intentions. And so what we know from this here too, is in the words that we read that were given to us by Jeremiah, they were fueled by God himself. And when God speaks, he is doing God's stuff. And so what is God's stuff that he's doing here? He is going about his business of recreating that the world that has been tainted and twisted and marred by sin and rebellion. He is doing a new thing in his world. He is restoring all things and making a crooked world right once again. He is redeeming and restoring all of creation. That's what he's doing. And so when we read, this is the word of the Lord, we ought to pay attention. Not dismiss it as blah, 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 but pay attention, lean forward, say, God's about to do something. All right, so God's about to do something. The word of the Lord came to him. He's given us some context here. In the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Again, it's easy to get kind of turned around in there. It's given us a time frame of when Jeremiah was doing his thing. And so as we look at a little timeline here, it gives us some context. So this first section here, don't write it off, it's saying there was a real man in a real time doing real work inspired by the word of God. Like it was set in a context. So we see he actually began to do his work in the early 600s BC, and it stretched into about 580, about 586, 580 BC. So that was the time frame when Jeremiah was prophesying. Now, when he came into this calling of prophet, he was coming alongside King Josiah. Now, King Josiah ruled righteously. He was a good king of Judah. He had recognized that the nation had gone haywire in rejecting God and rebelling against God. And so as king, he was trying to pull them back in bounds. He had found some manuscripts of Hebrew scriptures, and he had a celebrated reading of these scriptures because he wanted to anchor them back into the person, the nature, and the character of God. And so here is this king who is trying to restore the nation, and along comes this prophet who is equally trying to restore God's people into righteousness back with God as a part of God's plan. Now, what we see is as it goes on, other kings went back to haywire, and so the proclaimed discipline of God of exile came to be. And so Jeremiah is prophesying in that time frame. Again, for history nerds who are trying to put it in time and space, here you go. That's all I'm going to say about those passages right now. So we're moving on to verse 4. Again, listen to this phrase. The word of the Lord came to me, right? Jeremiah is writing this. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. All right? So this is the section that I want us to pay some particular attention to. And in doing so, we're proclaiming something today that is incredibly powerful in our lives. And here's what we proclaim. Today, through this passage, through the reading of God's word, we proclaim that when you feel unsteady, unsure, and afraid, God knows you. When you feel unsure, unsteady, and afraid, God knows you. Let's pause for just a moment. Father, do your work in us today. It really is remarkable, and it changes everything when we get this. when we're able to receive who you are in us. So help us to do that today through your Holy Spirit. Would you give us eyes to see what we would not naturally see? Would you give us ears to hear what we would not naturally hear? And would you make our hearts soft and pliable that we might be changed by what you have for us today? We submit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. It really is profound. Like in the very moments when we feel most unsteady, when we feel most unsure or afraid, God is present in those moments and he knows you. And we've all had those moments of unsteadiness, haven't we? We've all had those moments where we've been unsure. I think back several years ago when my family and I moved here, I had three kids that were taken along here. You know several of them. Actually, you know all of them if you know any of them. There's none that I'm hiding in a corner somewhere. So you got in a sense of our kids. And I was so inspired by their bravery and courage. Like, it's hard enough to go to school on the first day of school, right? Some of you, like, going into middle school, how's that ride, right? So that's intimidating enough for a lot of us. And then to go into a new school, that's hard. You don't know anybody, you don't know the systems, you don't even really know the teachers. And then you do that dropped in the middle of a semester. It wasn't even like during a Christmas break. We moved in the week before Thanksgiving. And so they dropped into this new school right in that time. And I watched them courageously do this hard thing. And I've been so stinking proud of them as I saw them do that. And there was one particular moment that just resonates in my heart and my mind. We were dropping my oldest off in middle school, and so we pulled up in the line of other parents. And as he hopped out of the car, we noticed there was another student from the church here who had been waiting with her dad in the drop-off area, waiting in his truck. And as Isaac hopped out of the car, she quickly hopped out of the truck and just kind of quietly sidled up alongside of him on the sidewalk. And later when asked what she was doing and why she did that, she said, nobody should have to go the first day of school on their own. Isn't that really cool? Like, she just didn't want him to have to do that on his own. How scary that must have been. And so she just came up alongside and said, he doesn't have to do this on his own. He's got a friend on day one. And that was such a beautiful example of what I think God does for us. In the moments when we are most unsteady, unsure, or afraid, God comes alongside of us and says, hey, remember, you don't have to do this on your own. And that's what's taking place here with Jeremiah. Jeremiah is being called as a prophet of God. Like the stakes were high. If you were a prophet of God and what you said God said didn't come true, you would be killed. If you were a prophet of God and you said something hard or harsh, you might have been killed. The stakes were very high for a prophet of Yahweh. And here's Jeremiah. We get this sense in here, even in his rebuttal to God, but I don't have the words to say. I'm too young. He had this sense of himself like, I am inadequate for what you're putting me into. And God responds to that. And look at the foundation of this response. Those first couple of verses there, verses 4 and 5. Listen to these words again, particularly verse 5. So go to verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That first phrase there, before I formed you. Right, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of worry, in the midst of unsettledness, God speaks his word to the prophet Jeremiah. It says, I formed you. It's a very powerful reminder. It's the God of the universe saying, I formed you. I shaped you. I put you together. In other places in Scripture, he talks about the Lord knit us together in our mother's womb. Like, God has formed and shaped. The word that's used here when the prophet writes, I formed you, that word formed, is the same word that's used to describe what God did to Adam in creation. When it said, God formed the man out of the dust of the earth. It's that very same word. And so these words ought to resonate with this, that we're not talking about just some nebulous God here. We're talking about the God of creation, the one who created everything that is, including you, Jeremiah. And see, in Jeremiah's life, something is being revealed of the nature and the character of God. He is a God who forms and shapes. And he did that for Jeremiah, and he does that for you. You are here by the full intention and shaping handiwork of the Creator of the universe. Seriously, let that settle in for just a moment. You are here. You exist. You exist. You have personhood. You have a self. You exist and are here because the Creator of the universe formed you and intended you to be here. That truth does something in us. Because let's be honest, there are pieces of us that we don't prefer. We've got this picture of an ideal human. And very rarely do we have this picture of an ideal human and look in the mirror and see the ideal. We compare and we judge even ourselves, don't we? I'm too this, I'm not enough that. I'm not smart enough, I'm too smart. People don't like me, I'm a nerd. I've got dark hair, I wish I had light hair. I've got dark eyes, I wish I had light eyes. I wish I had this color skin, I'm too pale, I'm too dark. Like all these sort of inadequacies that we are quick to judge ourselves in. And we carry the judgments of the world because we have been told by others, you don't measure up, you don't belong, you aren't worth it. Like those are the messages that are sticky for us. And so cutting through the white noise of those messages, God says through his prophet Jeremiah, I formed you. You exist by the intention of the God of the universe. And so what do we do with those places that our inadequacy reigns supreme? Sometimes it's a physical inadequacy. I wish I could, but I can't. Or maybe we were born with something just in our DNA that we aren't like other people around us. Sometimes there's internal pieces, the way our minds work, physiologically even, sometimes feels like an impediment to life. It feels like it gets in the way of our lives, and we judge those places in ourselves, don't we? We condemn ourselves for our anxiety. We condemn ourselves for our depression. We condemn ourselves even for our anger that rises up at times. And yet what we find in this place is that we don't have to hide those places. Because part of God saying, I formed you, is God saying, I made you, which doesn't justify all the pieces of our lives, but it says, I'm present with you in the midst of it. Those very things that we hide and are shamed by and we try to put away in a cupboard that nobody sees, God says, I formed you. You are here with the full intention of the God of the universe. Yeah, but this part of my story, you are here because of the full intention of the God of creation. So God formed you, and God is continuing to form you. God is shaping you through experiences, even experiences that are deeply painful or horrific. God shapes you and molds you through those things. We might look at those places of pain and say, it broke me. I knew the person that I was supposed to be, but when this happened, it went off the rails, and I'll never be that person that I was supposed to be. God is present in the midst of even those pieces because God formed you and continues to form you in this day. And he will use, sometimes especially, not in spite of, but especially our suffering, our pain, and our trials to form us in our day. So one of the things we see is a God who forms you. You are here on purpose. I want you to kind of whisper that to yourself for a moment. I am here on purpose. I am here on purpose with the full intention of the Creator of the universe. You are here. So he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That is a deeply relational word, new. We think of it very intellectually. We knew you. He knew how tall you were going to be, he knew where you were going to live, knew your nationality, knew your IQ. He kind of knew those things. And while those things are true, this word carries with it such a profoundly deep and relational meaning. Before I formed you, I knew you. See, that word, I knew you, speaks of intimate presence with. Before you were formed, the God of the universe was present with you. And nothing has escaped his attention. Nothing. Nothing escapes his attention. Just like he's saying to the prophet Jeremiah, he's revealing that he is the God who is intimately close and relational. He is personal. He is here. He sees you. And nothing escapes his attention. Those little things that make you laugh and giggle. Like the inside jokes that everybody else kind of wonder what you're laughing about. But every time it happens on the YouTube, every time it happens in the movie, you just bust a gut laughing. He knows those places, right? He knows those places. The things that make you just go, oh, I wish. He knows those places. Those moments that bring you to tears. He knows those places. He knows the junk drawer where you hide your shame and your guilt. Because he is the God who knows you. He formed you. He knows you. And part of what Jeremiah is doing here is he is standing as prophetic witness to the identity of God. Who is he? To the character of God, he is good, and to the purpose of God, I am restoring all things. He is standing as prophetic witness in his day of the identity, character, and purpose of God. And the foundation of that calling, in the midst of the winds that push against and buffet against, that give him every reason to believe that he will fail in that calling, the foundation of that is this phrase, these words that God speaks to him, before I formed you, and be assured I formed you. I knew you, all of you. Nothing has escaped my attention. Because when we understand those things, it does something to us. It gives us steadfastness. It gives us courage. It gives us boldness. When we understand that we have been shaped by God, then the messages that people bring our way of you're not and you can't and you shouldn't and you don't, all those messages don't take up residence in our hearts and our minds because we have the steadfastness that says, I have been formed by God. And all those messages that say, you aren't loved, you're not worth it, you don't have value, get pushed to the periphery. Why? Because we stand fast on this notion. The God who formed me is the God who knows me. And so even when we feel the winds of our world pushing against us, when we feel the darkness coming in around us, we stand steadfast. Look how he does this here. So he moves out of that place in verse 6. Alas, alas, sovereign Lord, Jeremiah says, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Right? Here's the reasons that I can't do what you are calling me to do. And listen to God's response. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. I say, I'll tell you when you're too young. If I call you, you're not too young. So don't dismiss what's going on here. I know you. I formed you. There's nothing that escapes your attention. Don't say I'm too young. Go to everyone that I send you to and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. He doesn't say, don't be afraid of them because I made you big and bad to the bone. You don't have to be afraid of anybody. Don't be afraid of them because I made you really, really smart and articulate. No, he says, don't be afraid of them because I'm with you. I'm with you. And I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to rescue you. Like God's promise to the prophet is his presence. Whose presence? The God who formed, the God who knows, is the God who is with. Because the fact of the matter is, it's going to look a little bit different than Jeremiah. Chances are you are not called to walk the streets of a city and proclaim its destruction and impending exile. The chances are that is not our calling. But all of us who are followers of Jesus are called to stand as prophetic witness to the identity, character, and purpose of God. In the places that we go, we stand as witness to who He is and what He's doing in our world. And let's face it, that's hard. Because God turns the rules of the world on its head. Right? He has this whole different set of rules. And the whole purpose of standing as prophetic witness is to show the world what it looks like when Jesus is king. To show the world what it looks like when God is doing His new thing. To live as people of new creation here in the midst of old creation. And so the rules change, the rules are off. And there's a cost to that. And we feel the cost in the buffeting winds and the torrents that come against us. But in those moments when the winds rage and the torrents rage and we feel unsteady and unsure and afraid, God proclaims, I know you. I formed you. I know you. And I'm with you. And that is the foundation of a life where God is revealing Himself in and through. That's such a, for me, it was such a beautiful picture of this. Recently I had a conversation, I'm changing the name, we'll say Abby. Abby sent me an email. She's a young woman who's studying to be a nurse, and so she's in nursing school, and when you are studying to be a nurse, those of you who are nurses, you know this, you go through clinicals, and so you have to be out in the field, and you get exposed to all the different types of medical care that there is out there, and it's a rigorous, it's a fun, it's an engaging time where you're trying to find out what kind of nurse did God make you. And so Abby loves Jesus, following Jesus, studying to be a nurse, and she was in the midst of her OBGYN rotation. And so she was assigned by her class that what she needed to do to complete this assignment is she needed to spend the day doing a rotation through an abortion clinic. Now, as a woman following Jesus, she first talked to her professor, like, I can't do that. Like, that is against what my beliefs are, I can't support that. And the professor was gracious and understood, but said, I can't change it. You've got to find if there's somebody else to switch. And she just could not make that switch. And so by the time she reached out to me, she says, I've exhausted all my options. I have to do this. Would you pray for me? Absolutely, I'll pray for you. And so shared with Heidi by permission. And so we're praying for her leading up to that day and throughout that day. And then afterwards, Heidi, my wife, and I met with Abby just to kind of debrief the day and see what was going on there and to pray with her at the end of her day. And that was where she shared the story of what had happened. And I'm not going to share all the details of the pieces, but what I saw was just absolutely astounding to me. By the time she went into that clinic, she was feeling steadfast. And that was part of the ways that we had been praying, is that she would experience steadfastness in an environment that was very difficult for her to stand in. And so she was in this environment, and her job that day was to walk with the woman all the way from the time that she walked in the door through all the various counseling pieces of that, the ultrasound, and the procedure. And so she was walking with this woman and getting to know this woman a little bit, and she was able to engage in conversation. And all the time she's got this internal thing going on. She's praying, she's weeping internally with what's about to happen. She's pleading God to change things that were going to be happening here. But interacting very graciously and lovingly with the staff and with the woman. They got to the point where they were in the ultrasound room, and so the ultrasound was taking place, and the text says, yeah, we often encourage the women to look the other way, because once they see it move, they often change their mind. So the woman was looking the other way, and the tech was doing her job, and Abby was looking at the screen, and she was seeing the movement of this little baby. And she was seeing it move and move around just like you do with an ultrasound. And her heart was breaking in this because she knows, she sees what's real about this. And then the woman goes on into the procedure. Abby didn't go into the procedure. Her convictions stopped her from there. But even that gracious conviction opened the door for her to have conversations with the staff while the woman was in this other room doing what we know she was doing. This young woman, this young nursing student, was able to have a very gracious and loving conversation with the staff there who were curious, why wouldn't you go in there? Why wouldn't you follow through on this? And she was able to talk to them about her relationship with Jesus, not shoving anything down a throat, but just graciously and lovingly revealing why she had convictions about this. And the clinic director that she was interacting with said, wow, this is actually just a very different conversation than I've had before. Oftentimes I experience being yelled at and criticized and chastised by you people, Christians. But this is just really a gracious conversation. Thank you for engaging me with that. I see what you're saying now more. Holding different beliefs, but she saw it. So as we were debriefing this whole day, there was tears, we were crying together, we were praying together, and just saying, God, what are you doing in the midst of this? And God, I felt like God spoke down into that conversation that we were having after her day in the clinic. And one of the things that I saw in that, is I said, Abby, you saw. You saw. You were in that room, and you saw. And you stood as witness to life. In a place that is not life, you were a witness to life. You saw. Aside from God, you're the only one who saw. And as you stood in that place, you did as prophetic witness of who God is, that he is the God who forms and shapes and knows. And so while it might not feel like anything changed in that day, you stood as prophetic witness against the raging torrents. And I tell you, I promise you, hell saw what happened. And the spiritual forces of this world took notice because a faithful woman of God stood as prophetic witness to life. I was so stinking proud of her. And I was filled with gratefulness that God had empowered that witness that day. And see, you and I might not go into those same kind of places. We might. Like your calling, your vocation might take you into some of those places. But your vocation, your calling, your life will take you into other places too. You walk into a school where gossip and posturing and preening reigns supreme. But you stand as prophetic witness of goodness and life. You go into a job that's all about the buck and will cut any corner possible, and they're trying to get you to do that too. You stand in integrity as prophetic witness of the character, identity, and purpose of God. Not in being bombastic and boisterous, but in being firm and resolved. Because as you stand as prophetic witness, this is the God who is reminding you who you are. He is revealing his identity in you and through you. He is revealing his character in you and through you. And he is revealing and accomplishing his purposes in you and through you. Wherever you walk the footsteps of a prophet in our day. As the winds and the torrents come, whatever that looks like for you, and you stand steadfast. How can you stand steadfast? Because the God of creation formed you. And you're going to be quick with the inadequacies. Well, I can't, but I don't, and I don't, and I don't have the money, and I don't have the time, and I don't. When you stand and breathe in, I formed you. And I know you. And I am with you. There is a resolve. There is a steadfastness. There is an anchor amidst the storm. And in that moment, you stand as prophetic witness that the universe would know who God is and what he has come to do. Let me pray for us. Our Father, we stand before you as people who are fully inadequate, right? We see those things and we're so quick to call them out, and yet we hear your voice. We receive your truth that you have shaped us. You formed us. And we are here by your intent. We receive that today, Lord. And we do so with gratitude. I pray, God, that you would give us courage, that you would give us steadfastness, that you would be our anchor as the winds of this world buffet against us, that the world might know who you are, because you are absolutely spectacular. You are good and gracious and kind. You are full of love and compassion. Your love knows no bounds, and your grace extends beyond what we can even fathom. You are the God of the universe. You are near. Let our lives be an act of worship to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you would. If Jesus has done something in you today, take that which he has done into the world in which you go. If he has given you a measure of his mercy today, may you be an ambassador of mercy as you go. If he has given you grace and forgiveness and freedom, may you be an ambassador of grace and forgiveness and freedom as you go. If he has filled you with his love, may you be an ambassador of that love as you go. And everywhere you go, may you stand in strong prophetic witness of who he is and what he is doing. Thanks for being here.